Have your Bibles tonight. Go ahead and turn with us once again tonight to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 18. I thought we was going to be finished with that last night. And matter of fact, I wanted to be finished with that last night. But I really felt like the Lord would have us to go back and visit this portion of Scripture one more time this evening. 1 Kings chapter number 18. And we'll read the last few verses of the chapter, and we'll go over into chapter number 19 as well. Some of my favorite scripture. Matter of fact, we're looking at one of my favorite, I used to say Bible characters. But in a lot of people's minds, when you say a character, they associate that with a fictional character. This was not a fictional character. So one of my favorite Bible people, amen, is Elijah. And I love to read and study about the man of God. 1 Kings chapter number 18. I tell you what let's do. Let's stand together just for a few moments as we read tonight. Give you just a little bit of time to stretch your legs. And aren't those young people a blessing? I just about changed my message and preached to parents about these kids. But Lord's got us back right here in 1 Kings chapter number 18 tonight. Let's find verse number 37. And if you wasn't here last night, let me mention quickly before we start reading. If you're not familiar with the text, what's taken place? Elijah has called out the prophets of Baal. And he's called them to Mount Carmel for literally a showdown. And whichever God, they're going to offer sacrifice, they're going to pray. And whichever God answers by fire, said, let them be God. So they've gathered together on Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal have offered their sacrifice. They have cried out to Baal. Baal has not answered. Baal's not real. Amen. They even jumped up on the altar, tore the altar down. They've cut themselves. They've done everything they could do, and nothing's happened. Let me tell you, they some gods of this world is going to leave you empty and void when it's all said and done. Amen. But it became Elijah's turn, and Elijah repaired the altar. He had them to soak down the sacrifice with water, and also had a trench around the altar, and they filled that trench up with water. And Elijah now is fixing to pray, and God's fixing to answer. 1 Kings chapter number 18, beginning verse number 37. Here's what the Bible said. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up and eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now. I look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot. Get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let me stop right here and say, I looked that up. That was a 30-mile run that Elijah made. 30 miles he ran. Chapter 19, beginning verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, If I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." He said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the inner end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." The Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimaholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. It shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him." Let's pray. Father, once again, we're truly grateful for the privilege you've given us to come this way. Thank you, Lord, for everything that's already been said and done. And now, Lord, for the next few minutes, Lord, would you please just one more time meet with us. Help us. Lord, move in our midst and speak to hearts. Lord, I beg you now to do what only God can do in the rest of this service. Lord, I appreciate again all the effort that has been put into this meeting. And I trust, Lord, that you'll bless. But now, Lord, please have your way. Speak to the hearts of your people. And Lord, if you would, just anoint me afresh now and give me liberty to preach. Whatever you do, we'll try our best to thank you for it. Praise you. Give you all the glory for anything that's accomplished. Lord, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. And amen. Thank you. You can be seated. A little bit lengthy in reading tonight, and I hope that don't bother you. I used to apologize for reading too much scripture, and then I got under conviction for it. Amen. My word, what are we supposed to be reading, or what are we supposed to be preaching anyway? Amen. The book. But it was a little bit lengthy in reading once again tonight as we read this great event, this great account that Elijah experienced. He goes from a great victory, a literal mountaintop experience. And in just a few verses later, he leaves that mountaintop experience and we find him at his lowest point probably of his life. The lowest point down yonder under a juniper tree. When he sat down under that juniper tree, he ask God that he might die. It's amazing how quickly things can change. How quickly we can go from a mountaintop experience to the lowest point of our lives. I really wish there wasn't no low points, don't you? I wish life was nothing but mountaintop experiences. I wish we could live and dwell on the mountaintops and everything always be wonderful. But I'm telling you, we'd never appreciate those mountaintop experiences if it wasn't for some of them deep, dark valleys. Amen? And I mentioned it last night, and I'm going to try my best not to re-preach what I've done preached last night. But in this day and time that we're living in, I don't mean to be a doom and gloom and despair, but in this day and time that we're living in, until Jesus comes, which I hope's pretty soon, don't you? Until Jesus comes, I believe in America especially, I believe we're probably going to be in for some low times. I believe we're going to have some valleys that we may have to trudge through. I believe there may be some low points in our lives, maybe even lower than what we've already been before. I don't know. I'm telling you, the best thing that could happen to us, those of us that are saved anyway, is for Jesus to come on back right now. Amen. That might keep us from a whole lot of heartache. But let me stop and say before I go on any farther, if tomorrow we find ourselves in the lowest valley that we've ever been in, I want to remind you that you won't be there by yourself. We've got a God in heaven that promised us he'd never leave us and never forsake us. We won't have to face those dark days alone. Ain't that good? Can't imagine facing some of them times without some kind of help, some kind of presence of the Lord. However, even though God, we know that he's going to be present with us, we might find ourselves like old Job did. Job said, oh, that I might know where to find him. He said, I've looked to the left and he's not there. I've looked to the right. He's not there. I looked in front of him. He couldn't find God nowhere. But I promise you this, even when you can't find him, he's somewhere close by. Elijah. I want to look at Elijah here for just a little while tonight. There's a couple other others I want to use and mention as well. But when we read here in chapter number 19, Elijah under that juniper tree. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever had one of those juniper tree experiences? Have you been there yet? Probably. I'd be safe in saying that probably all the young'uns are gone. They're down yonder. For the most of us that are left in here, we've probably had our juniper tree experiences. Some maybe more often than others, but we've all been there. That low point in your life to where you really even lose the desire to live. If you've not been there, you ought to be the one testifying at the first chance you get tonight, telling everybody how good God's been to you. However, if you have been there, that don't mean God hadn't been good to you. Amen. In spite of them juniper tree experiences, I can still stand and testify God's been real good to me. Amen. If you've been there, you know a little bit what it's like. As I sat back there a little while ago and I was wrestling, trying to make sure this is where God wanted us to go back to, there was faces that came to my mind. I'm talking about some that didn't get past the juniper tree experience. They died under the juniper tree. Took their own life. Whatever it might have been, they didn't get past their juniper tree experience. I want to tell you tonight, you can get past it. You can get past it. They don't have to bury you under the juniper tree. You can get past it, I promise you. Tonight, as we revisit this text and we look at Elijah, I want you to notice the prayer that Elijah prayed when he found himself under that juniper tree. Verse 4, chapter 19. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." I tried to preach last night by the help of the Lord on the dangers of discouragement. We noticed last night, rather briefly, but we noticed last night that when we are dealing with discouragement, if we ain't really careful, that's going to magnify our opposition. It's not going to be the Lord that's going to be magnified in our discouragement. It's going to be the opposition that is magnified. Then we also mentioned last night that not only is the opposition going to be magnified, but we also mentioned last night that others are going to be misled in our discouragement. Somebody's watching us. And then last night we also mentioned that opportunities will be missed in the times of our discouragement if we're not careful. You see, that mountaintop experience when God sent the fire down from heaven, answered by fire. Did you hear all the people? They were all bowing down and crying, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." What an opportunity for national revival right there. But Elijah got word that Jezebel has threatened his life. Instead of leading his people into revival, he turns tail and flees, runs away, finds himself under the juniper tree. But tonight I want to mention Elijah's not the only one that's been under the juniper tree. If you have your Bibles handy, and if you want to turn back, you don't have to. But I want to go back to Numbers chapter number 11 tonight, and we'll find another one that prayed a prayer like Elijah prayed. You're probably familiar with this Bible person as well. This is none other than Moses himself. Numbers chapter number 11. Let's look at verse number 14 and 15. Here's what Moses said. "I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. If thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness." Here's another great leader, Moses himself, praying a similar prayer that Elijah prayed in 1 Kings 19, 4. Elijah's not the only one. Moses is not the only one. There's another one I want to look at. Again, you don't have to turn, but I'm going over to the book of Jonah tonight. The book of Jonah tonight. Chapter number four. Let's go to chapter number four, verse number three. The Bible said, and here's Jonah praying now. "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Here's three of God's men that have found themselves under their juniper tree and they're praying to die. Pretty low. I looked over the crowd and I said, "Lord, let me preach something that might stir us up and get us to worship in you tonight." We might yet, I don't know. Maybe tomorrow, well, I don't know what we're going to do. But I'm convinced it's where God's got us tonight. If it's just for one, it'll be well worth it. If there's somebody here tonight and you find yourself under a juniper tree, you're losing the will to go on. You're battling with trying to maintain a desire to even live. Oh, I want to be a help to you. If you're not here tonight, or if you are here tonight and you're not dealing with that, fold it up and put it in your pocket. Amen. Keep it handy. You might need it in a day or two. Y'all okay with that, ain't you? When Elijah finds himself under a juniper tree, there's three things that's going on in the life of Elijah. The first thing that I noticed is there is a physical problem. We mentioned it last night. I need to mention it again tonight. There's a physical issue with Elijah when he gets under that juniper tree. He is physically exhausted. Again, I'm trying not to re-preach what I preached last night, but I mean, he's gone from this great spiritual experience. God has moved mightily. He's answered by fire. The fire came down from heaven. It consumed the sacrifice. It burned up the wood. It even consumed the dust and licked up the water in the trench. And what an experience. And then he boldly had all those prophets of Baal slew down yonder by the brook. And a great experience. And he goes up then on the top of Carmel and he bows. And God answers and sends the rain. There's not been any rain or dew for 3.5 years, and now God is fixing to send the rain. I'm talking about a wonderful experience. And then God, the hand of God was upon him. He tells Ahab to get in his chariot and go on before him. Ahab gets in that chariot, and here comes Elijah running with under the hand of God to Jezreel. 30 miles. I don't care if the hand of God's on you or not. You flesh and blood. Somebody say amen right here. It'd take the hand of God on me to run 30 miles. Amen. Physically exhausted. And then here comes the messenger. Jezebel's messenger. About this time tomorrow, I'm going to make you a foot shorter than you are today. Amen. When he hears that, he turns tail. There's a physical problem. I noticed back yonder with Moses. Moses also was experiencing a physical issue. Elijah's problem becomes pity. Really does. I don't even like using that with one of my Bible heroes. But you know what he does? He gets his eyes off of God. He gets his eyes off of his people. And his eyes are now on himself. And by the way, he really didn't want to die. He said he did. He prayed that. I understand. God understood. But he really didn't want to die. If he'd really wanted to die, he could have stayed right where he was at and let Jezebel take care of it. He really didn't want to die. He's wanting some help, though. You know somebody. They really don't want to die. They really just want some help. They'll make an attempt or whatever it might be, and it's really a cry for help. For whatever reason, some succeed. But I believe even them really didn't want to. They didn't want to. Elijah is focused on himself. Moses is focused on the people. Moses is so busy trying to pastor around 2 million people in the wilderness, putting up with their bickering, putting up with their complaining, doing what good church members do. Amen? Y'all okay with that, ain't you? I mean, he's pastoring the First Baptist Church of the Wilderness. And all that comes with the people. Hey, let me tell you something. Missionary or young preacher or pastor, if you don't like people, you better get out of the ministry. Because it's all about people. You've got to deal with people. People are your flock. People is the focus of what you're trying to do. And Moses got overwhelmed with the people. You heard what he said. He said, I am not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. Elijah's dealing with a pity problem. Moses is dealing with a people problem. Jonah, we don't want to forget about Jonah. Jonah's dealing with a pout problem. Let me say something positive for Jonah, okay? Jonah was a true patriot. He loved his country. Amen. And God shows up and tells Jonah he wants him to go over yonder to Nineveh. Preach a message of judgment on him. And Jonah said, God, if I do that, I know you. You'll forgive them. There'll be a revival there. And Jonah, you know what he said? I don't want you to forgive them. I just assume you wipe them out and be done with them. Amen. And y'all know how Jonah ends up finally getting there. After spending the night in three nights in a whale's belly, he gets there and he knows what God's going to do. And Jonah, he's sitting there pouting about it. He got his eyes on the situation. Wonder what we're getting our eyes on or getting our eyes off of that's leading us to our juniper experience. There's a good chance if you ain't careful, you'll get so focused on you, you're going to get discouraged, depressed. There's a good chance you're going to focus on people. If you do that, you're probably going to get discouraged, maybe even depressed. I don't know. You may just be getting your eyes on the circumstance. I've done said it last night, I'll say it again. What's going on in our country is enough to discourage us. My heart's breaking over the circumstance of our great land. You got to be careful what you get your eyes on, or better yet, what you get your eyes off of. Somehow, God help us if we can keep our eyes on Him. We might not have to have another juniper tree experience. We can just stay focused on Him. Amen. There was a physical issue. But let me say this. Not only was there a physical issue, there was a psychological issue. Psychological issue. Something going on up here. Yes, there was something with the physical, but then there was something with the mental. I mentioned it last night about Elijah. When that messenger came to Elijah and delivered what Jezebel told him to deliver, y'all remember that, don't you? If you wasn't here last night, if you got your Bibles handy, 1 Kings 19:3. Verse 2 is when the message is delivered from Jezebel. Verse 3, listen to what it said. And when he saw that, what did he see? He saw Jezebel taking his life. Question, did Jezebel take his life? No. How did he see that? He's seen it appear. There's something psychological going on that contributes to Elijah's juniper tree experience. Y'all know this. Biggest battle's in the mind. And most of them that's under a juniper tree are losing the battle of the mind. Seeing things, thinking things that ain't even happened yet. I don't know what we did before the days of cell phones. Y'all got teenagers. A lot of you do. There's some of them in here tonight. Some of them's not. Y'all worry about your children? How many of you parents got teenagers driving? Or not teenagers, just older than teenagers. Teenagers and above driving. Several of you. I got to ask, do you worry about them? Are you like me? If my children are out somewhere doing something and my phone rings, what's the first thing goes through your mind? Are you anything like me? I think the worst. Immediately, oh Lord, something's wrong with the children. I see an ambulance go by. You know where I think they're going? My family. I don't know why we're built like that, but it's, we think the worst no matter what. And just the battle of our mind with our mind taking us in these directions, it'll take us up and under a juniper tree if we ain't real careful. The thought process. You know what you can do? Let's divide up in different crowds or different groups. We can have a group go over here and they can talk about the weather. But you can stand over here and them looking at you. You know what you think they're talking about? They over there talking about me. I know they are. Why they wasn't they? I know they were. It's just how our mind works. And I'm telling you, the battle. Pastor in a church. Worried to death about every family, where they at, why ain't that church. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Psychological. Man, if the devil can just get in your mind. Is that why Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Mind. Better guard your mind. Guard your mind. Noah, same. Or Moses, same issue. Psychological. I can't do this. Jonah. Psychological. There's physical thing going on. There's a psychological thing going on. But then I'll say this, there's a spiritual thing going on too. Spiritual. Simple illustration. Easy illustration this day and time. Probably all of you got one of these with you. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't hardly know anybody that don't have one anymore. About everybody's got one. I didn't say everybody did, but about everybody's got one. Mine here, up here in the upper right-hand corner, has a little picture of a battery. Y'all with me? And I can look at that and see how much power I have left. Yours probably like that too. And as soon as you unplug this from its charger, you know what's going to start happening? It's going to start losing power. As soon as it's unplugged, oh yes, it looks like it's full, but just as soon as you unplug that, it's starting to decline, losing power. It's going to keep losing power until it's plugged back in. To recharge. Now, I unplugged this morning. If I had unplugged it this morning and left it laying there on the desk and not picked it up, not done anything with it, it'd take a while, but it would end up losing power. Y'all with me? But now, if I get on this thing as soon as it's unplugged and I'm using it constantly, you know what's going to happen? It's going to lose power a whole lot faster. Y'all know that, don't you? How well this works spiritually. As soon as we get unplugged, help us, Lord. As soon as we get unplugged, we begin, maybe full, but we begin to lose power immediately when we become unplugged. And the more you are busy, the more you are used, the faster you're going to run out of power. Your battery is going dead. And usually there is a warning sign somewhere that you need to replug, that you need to get recharged before you die. Spiritually. Gets down there real low, and sometimes there's a red light comes on. Mine will stay bright till you get down to 5%. 5%, it goes real dim. You can still see it, but it's real dim. What are you saying, preacher? Elijah's battery is running low. Y'all okay with that? Oh yeah, he was plugged in. He was full. My soul, how full he was. But just as soon as he got unplugged, and he's been used pretty hard, that battery ran low pretty quick. And he gets down there under a juniper tree, and there's a red light flashing. He was burning pretty bright, but now it's just dim. Barely can't see it. What's he need? He needs to get plugged in and recharged. Oh, help us, Lord. There may be somebody here tonight. You've been running well. You've been real busy for the Lord. And we can all pat you on the back and tell you how good a job you've done and make you feel real good about yourself. But as soon as you get unplugged, you're going to start losing power. And there may have been somebody arrived yesterday evening. Maybe you got here about mealtime. Maybe it's like me and didn't get here till church time. But when you walked through the door, the red light was already on. Getting low. You know what Brother Harold's done in this meeting? He's tried to create an atmosphere where you can get plugged in and recharged. Amen. Now, mine gets 5% and it gets dim. There's nothing real exciting going on. It's just clinging to life. Y'all with me? Don't get too upset when the services ain't real high. Might be just somebody trying to find a plug in. If we can get them plugged in and get that flow going back through it again, get that battery recharged, it might burn bright later on, but right now, just need to get plugged in. Y'all okay with that, ain't you? Here's something that excited me reading about Elijah. I'm thrilled about the angel, ain't you? I mean, and notice this, by the way. Verse 5 is where it first mentioned there's an angel there. He lay and slept under the juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him, setting him rise and eat. An angel. Did y'all notice that? Going down, he looked. You've heard of angel cakes? Right here's angel cakes. Verse 6, he looked, behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. He did eat and drink and laid him down again. Verse 7, watch this. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time. In verse 5, it said an angel. Verse 7, it said the angel of the Lord. Now, I'm not real clear, and I certainly ain't real, I'm not real smart on all this. But when you see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, we know Jesus hadn't physically came yet. But I want you to know something about Jesus. He was not produced in Bethlehem. He was just presented in Bethlehem. Amen. He already existed before Bethlehem. Get hold of that. And when you see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, what you have is a manifestation. I can't explain all this, but there's a manifestation of the presence of God or the Son of God. Amen. If it just said an angel like it did in verse number 5, I just said, well, God dispatched an angel down there. But man, when it said verse 7, the angel of the Lord, that may not do nothing for you. And if you don't see it this way, leave me alone, because I know that my God loves me enough that he'll come down personally every now and then. You say, you really believe God do that for you? He did it for Elijah. I can't help but believe he'll do it for me and you too. If you still ain't convinced, go on with me. He gets over yonder and God gets him in that cave, and the Lord says, what you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. You heard all that. And then it said, verse number 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. If you ain't convinced the angel of the Lord is the presence of God, what you going to do, verse number 11, when it said the Lord passed by? I mean, he got down to nothing. He's ready to die. He's going to throw the towel in. He's begging God to kill him. But thanks be unto God, God cared enough not just to dispatch an angel, but God passed by at his lowest point. Oh, if you get there, if you are there, you look around, God's going to come by somehow, some way. I don't know how. Some of you are so needy and so looking for the Lord to move, you're looking for the mountains to rent. But God may not be in the mountains renting. You're looking for the wind. You're looking for you're looking for something supernatural. You're looking for the fire. That's all well and good if it comes, but he may not be in that. Please get a hold of this. It may just be that still, small voice. That's where God was. That's where God was. God reminding Elijah, you're not by yourself. Did you hear what he said? I alone. No. Elijah, you're not alone. A 7,000 still hadn't bowed a knee to Baal. God gave Elijah just what he needed. I'm hurrying. Moses. Y'all remember the song? I believe it's called Consider the Lilies. That's an old one, ain't it? The songwriter said something in that song I really like. Here's what he said. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Well, I felt something on that. He really cares. Please get a hold of that. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Came by for Elijah and gave him what he needed. What did he do for Moses? Moses' complaint was the people. I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. Verse 15, he prays to die. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Look what verse 16 said. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them. God gave Moses exactly what he needed, 70 elders to help him. I don't know if that means anything to you or not, but if you've ever pastored in the wilderness, sure would be good if you had some help, wouldn't it? God sent him some help. God passed by Elijah. God sent Moses help. What'd God do for Jonah? Now, struggling a little bit with this one completely, but I'll tell you what God did do. God raised up a gourd for him. I know it ain't going to last, but I want you to notice what the Bible said. Verse number 3, chapter 4, you don't have to turn. Chapter 4, verse 3 of Jonah. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, watch this, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. God raised up a gourd just for Jonah. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying whenever you get your juniper tree experience, God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly what you need, and God will show up on time, every time. Amen. Where you at tonight? Some of you came in here wide open, busy, busy, busy. I commend you. I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time we need to be busy for the Lord, we need to be busy now. We're running out of time. You're tired. Church, it sounds like I'm preaching to the missionaries. These church members just same shape. Tired. Weary. Discouraged. Focused on yourself. Focused on people. Don't really matter. But when we get our focus off of him, we're going to find ourselves under a juniper tree somewhere. Ready to throw in the towel, ready to walk away, wanting to die. I just want you to know God does care. He knows where you're at. And he knows what you need. He knows exactly what you need. I may not, you may not, but God does. God sends you what you need, one way or the other. It may just be a still small voice. I think there'd been a time or two when that's exactly what I needed. Brother Willis, there'd been a time or two I could use a $43,000 check. And we could all shout over that, couldn't we? But sometimes it's not a $43,000 check you really need. Sometimes it's just a still small voice. Exactly what you need. Listen for him. Because he does care. Maybe tomorrow night, maybe Saturday night, we'll get shouting before it's over. I hope so. But tonight, somebody just needs to get plugged in. Your battery's going dead. And when your battery goes dead, ain't going to be nothing accomplished. No work's done till you get recharged. Find you a hole. Get up and under something, a juniper tree or an altar. Find somewhere and get plugged in and get your battery charged. You got to have it. For what's up ahead, we need a full load, don't we? Get your battery charged. Get your eyes off your situation. Get your eyes off your people. Get your eyes off yourself. And get focused back on Him. Somebody might ought to come apologize to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I took my eyes off you. Lord, just for a little bit, I took my eyes off of you. It don't have to be long, ask Peter. Just for a moment, take your eyes off of him. Get you in trouble. Get your eyes back on him. Listen, I know you need your support. But it ain't all about the support. It's about him. Get your eyes off your support. Get your eyes back on him. Amen. I know five churches just dropped you. Get your eyes off that. Get your eyes back on him. Y'all with me, ain't you? Amen. I know your children are done you wrong. I know somebody in the family hurt you. Get your eyes off that. Get it back on him. I'm trying to help you. Help us, Lord. Get your eyes off these gas prices. Get your eyes off Washington. Let's get our eyes fixed on him. I'm telling you, we keep looking at Washington. We will kill ourselves before long. Amen. Get your eyes back on him. Get recharged. Get you the help that you need, because we need you. We need you in this fight. We don't want to suffer another casualty. We need every one of you standing strong, fully charged, ready to go. We need you. Get charged. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.